Acts chapter 8, 26 to 39. Philip and the Ethiopians. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out on his way. On his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candrake, which means the queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah, the prophet. The scripture told Philip, "Go to the chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you are reading?" Philip asked. "How can I," he said, "unless someone explains it to me?" So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This is the passage of the scripture. Of scripture of the eunuch was reading. He was led to the sheep. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as the lamb before it sheared, it is silent. So he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendant? For his life was taken from the earth. The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they travelled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What can stand in the way of my baptism?" And he gave the orders to stop the chariot. Then both water and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the scripture of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Okay, it's Romans 10, 11 to 18. As scriptures say, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jews and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all of the richly blessed, all who came on him, who will call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, "How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news." But not all the Israelites accept the good news. For Isaiah says, "Lord, who has believed our message? Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. But I ask, did they not hear? Of course they did. Their voice has gone out into all the earth, their words into the ends of the world."
funny how they always do that in churches, you know. The organist comes down from the organ and sits on a seat in the church. As if it makes a lot of difference, because you can hear from where you are, really, can't you? You don't need to move around an awful lot. Oh, right. Oh, well, that's not a pretty thing, that isn't. No, no, that's not a pretty thing. I've not had plastic surgery yet, so I'm doing all right. I want us today to be giving some thoughts about Philip and the Ethiopian. Now, you'll notice on your little handouts that you got, there's a title to this, Being in the Right Place at the Right Time. And that passage from Acts tells us of one occasion when Philip found himself in the right place at the right time. And that's where today we're going to begin our thoughts. Being in the right place at the right time. Now, the story in Acts doesn't speak in terms of the right time or the right place. Instead, it tells us that an angel of the Lord, some translations will say the Holy Spirit, told Philip to go to the wilderness road that leads to Gaza. Now, when this happened, Philip may not have understood that an angel or the Holy Spirit was prompting him at that time. He may have recognized the heavenly intervention for what it was only some time after it had happened. Perhaps at that moment he got a feeling that he needed to do something. Now, we get feelings that are similar. It might be just a sudden thought. Perhaps we're driving down the road or we're walking to the shops. And we get this sudden thought or a sudden urge in ourselves that I need to go and see someone. I need to go and see a particular person. We don't know at the time, but when we get and we go and we do our mission and we get to the place that we've been told to go by the Lord or the Spirit or an angel, whatever you want to call it, we knock on the door and the door opens and we're so often greeted with, "Oh, I'm so glad that you've been and come to see me today. I was feeling a bit down today. I've had some bad news. Something's happened in my life. And I just needed you to call and to visit me and to see me. Something significant happens. A meeting, a conversation, an impact on somebody's life." You see, the ordinary incident that we thought nothing of, other than perhaps having this strange feeling, or perhaps sometimes it's an urgency that we get, that ordinary incident becomes extraordinary. And so then we recognize that we were in the right place at the right time. We may even claim that an angel told us to go there, or the Holy Spirit, and we might be right in saying so. But sometimes we have to be a little bit careful what we say has sent us. Because out there in the world, people think we're a funny lot, you know. The moment we say we've had a message from God, oh dear me, they shy away like nobody's business. They're down the road before you know it. But what happens to Philip? He sees a splendid chariot making slow progress along a dusty road. He's led to that chariot. And later he attributes this leading to God's own spirit. One man stands driving the chariot. Another man, very finely and strangely dressed, sits and reads from a scroll. And he reads out loud. And Philip recognizes the words from Isaiah the prophet. Now, not knowing this man from Adam, Philip goes up and dares to ask him a question. Imagine doing this in Tesco or Asda. Total strange when you go up and you ask them a total strange question. Well, Philip did this. Do you understand what you're reading? Do you understand what you're reading? And the man with the scroll replies with surprising candor. How can I? Unless somebody explains it to me. How can I unless somebody explains it to me? You see, being in the right place at the right time. And he motions his driver to stop the chariot and invites Philip to take a seat beside him. And the chariot rolls on with the two of them in the back, having discussion, engaging in conversation. In what we would call some Bible study. Now, this man with the scroll turns out to be the treasurer of Ethiopia. He's traveled a long way to Jerusalem to worship the God of Israel. And he's eager to know still more about Israel's God. He's reading from the Isaiah scroll on the journey home. But who's this mysterious suffering figure that this author writes about? Is the prophet describing himself, or is the prophet describing someone else? And it's here, at that moment, that Philip arrives on the scene. And Philip tells him that this mysterious suffering figure is Jesus, who was recently crucified outside Jerusalem and then 3 days later was raised to life. And the Ethiopian welcomes all that Philip tells him of the good news. And as they pass by a river, the Ethiopian, and we never do learn his name, you know, he decides he wants to be baptized. And Philip does this, and immediately is snatched up by the Holy Spirit and taken away, leaving behind this new Christian who then continues on his journey, continues home, rejoicing. And I suppose when he got home, just think of what he would be able to tell of his journey, of what he'd learned. Philip finds himself in the right place at the right time to help the Ethiopian take a decisive step to faith in Christ. It may be the most important encounter that Ethiopian ever has. And yet it doesn't go on very long. It's very brief. Philip's gone. His task at that moment is finished, is accomplished. We too may find ourselves in the same situation as Philip. We are led at some time to some place, to somebody who needs to hear a word from us. Our message may be one of explanation. It might be one of witness. It may be just offering support or encouragement. And though that message may be expressed in our personal terms, that message doesn't belong to us. What we say is God's word spoken through us. And the one who hears it takes a decisive step in his life or her life. That person that we went to recognizes and responds to the good news that comes from God through us. You may find yourself in Philip's situation today. When you go from this place, you might suddenly get a desire or an urge or a feeling that you have to go to somebody and speak to somebody, help somebody, tell somebody about Jesus. Or it could be tomorrow or the day after. We are taken to the right place, the right time, the right person, in order to make a difference, to speak some good news from God. The Lord works in such circumstances, yet we must be sensitive to our opportunity. We have to be available. We have to be unafraid. What's required is not extraordinary knowledge or eloquence or an unusual depth of spirituality. Just think of all the people through Scripture from Moses onwards who the Lord chose. Paul himself says, "I don't speak eloquent." What we have to do is simply speak the truth as we know it in our lives. We have to bear witness to Christ as we know him. And that's what it means to share our faith. Each one of you here today have experienced Jesus in different ways. Each one of you can tell a different story. We might be gathered as one at the moment, but when we go beyond these walls, we're going to different environments, different situations. And you have a story to tell. We could have sung, "You have a story to tell to the nations." Because that's what we do have. We have to tell our intimate story of being saved. The right place, the right time, for the right person. And these come along often enough if we make ourselves available. And the right person might not be a high official from a distant country or a great, clever person, but just somebody who turns up, who needs to hear each of our messages, and who, by God's grace, may go forth rejoicing after that encounter with us, having heard in our words. And that's the important thing. It's in our words. A personal message from God. The right place, the right time. To be available, we have to be free. We have to be free from fear. "I can't do that. I can't go and speak for the Lord. How can I ever do that?" You're all here today because you've been called to do a job for the Lord. You're all here today because he's personally touched you and chosen you to mission for him. We have to be free from fear, free from distraction, free from busyness and ignorance of our abilities. "Can't do it today. Got something else on, Lord. Got to do the shopping at Asda today." So we put him second. And if this place is to be filled, we put him first. Availability means we're free to act as a neighbour. Free to act as a neighbour for other people. Free to put our heart and head to work. Free to take a risk. Free to step out in hope. And what happened to Philip happens to the rest of us too. We find ourselves unexpectedly in a place that is strange to us. It's strange to us, but the time and the place are right for us because it's a situation to which God has led us. Like me meeting Pastor Moses, I wasn't going to do it. He decided it had to be done. And he will manipulate and move you until you're in that right place at that right time. And we respond to that calling in faith. The world is in a mess at the moment. You don't need me to tell you that. The world is waiting to hear good news. And we might just find ourselves in the right time and the right place to respond, to make a difference for people like Philip's Ethiopian, who want to hear the good news. And then, having heard our experiences, go on in their lives rejoicing. But it means we have to be prepared. You know, sometimes God opens a door to those he's chosen to minister when we're least prepared. So a very important thing for us is to be prepared as much as we can. We so often say, well, God puts the right words in our mouths. Great, wonderful. But what if we don't understand the words that have been put into our mouths? What if we don't understand what those words mean? If we don't study Scripture, which are the very words of God, then how can we interpret those written and God-spoken words when we're confronted in using them? Part of our calling as individuals in this church is to be prepared. Well, what do we have to do to fulfill this requirement? Well, they're quite simple. We read Scripture, we offer prayers, and we listen to the voice of God speaking to us. Another thing is that when we're asked to teach or interpret, we have to have that preparation in our lives in place. So often, however, the choosing of the place and the time isn't ours, it's God's. We can suddenly be somewhere and the call is made to help, to teach, to listen. And so often, as we say, we're caught on the wrong foot. It's almost as if God is seeing if we're prepared for what he requires of us. Being at God's place, at God's time. When we answer the call to become a follower of Jesus, God knows our time and our place because he chose it. Just think back into days when we were growing up. When we too were asked those same questions as did Philip to the Ethiopian. When our Sunday school teacher said, do you understand what you're reading? Did we? Do we? How can we? Unless it's explained to us. And God does that by putting those he calls in the right place at the right time. So when something strange happens to you in the coming week, just remember, God is putting you there for a reason. God is putting you there for a reason.